This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Standing on the corner, people rush by me. Shy ones and sly ones, the humble, the proud. How long must I go on looking? Looking for your face in the crowd. Walking through the city, the crowded old city, thousands of faces, the quiet, the proud. How long will it take you? Yes, to find my face in a crowd. People all around me, all alone, just like a motherless child, long ways from home. Oh yes, if there's a true love, how will I find it? Glowing like diamonds, all wrapped in a shroud. How long will it take you? Yes, to find my face in a crowd. All around me, I feel so all alone, just like a mother's child, a long way from home. If there's a true love, how will I find it? Glowing like diamonds, all wrapped in a shroud. How long must I go on looking? Yes, for your face in a crowd.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, and good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Anyway, we welcome you this morning, and we're going to have a couple topics here that are pretty interesting. We're going to be talking about pesticides in the first hour. And so what we're going to do, I've asked a council member from Kauai, Gary Hooser, and one of the other people over there in Kauai, Fern is her name. She's a marine biologist, Rosensteel. And we're going to be talking about pesticides in a bill that was introduced. So we will be talking here shortly. Good morning. Fern, are you there?
Yes, good morning, everybody.
All right. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Let me just see if we have a... Hold on. Good morning, caller. You have a... Hello?
Hi there. Yeah. I'm on the air there with you.
Yeah.
I hear you're talking about pesticides, but I wanted to talk about privacy or secrecy.
Let's do it in a logical fashion. We can do that next. I don't want to be discourteous.
Next hour?
Yeah, I got people calling in, but Curtis,
okay, then
call
let me
back.
Ask you the question about pesticides then. Okay. What privacy and secrecy is around the patents,
okay,
the use, the health benefits, or the health injuries?
Yeah, okay. Call back here shortly. Let me at least introduce the folks. Let them tell who they are. You might want to ask them some questions, but, you know.
All right, well, I'll just start it off with, you know, the privacy and secrecy issues around pesticides, their useful or harmful effects.
All righty.
And listen to the show and maybe try to get back to you when the other subject's appropriate.
Feel free. Okay, thank you, Curtis.
You're welcome.
Okay, aloha. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. Well, fine. We're hopping over a few obstacles here, but that's okay. We'll play this. I love the listeners calling in, and who cares? We'll get it right, huh? I have Fern on the line, and for my listeners out there, this is a council member from Kauai, Gary Hooser, and what we're talking about is pesticides, and Gary has introduced a bill for an ordinance to amend the Kauai County Code 1987, amended, which is talking about, the bill itself is 2491, and I will let Gary tell us about that, and Fern is going to join in. Rosensteel, is it, Fern, your last pronunciation?
Yeah, Rosensteel, you did pretty good.
And so without delaying this, and I'm sure there are many people who want to know, what is going on in, with this bill, and this is coming from Kauai, and I'll talk about the Kauai. Just let me give one plug for the website so that people can join in if they want to get more specifics. Just, I lost my place here. Hold on. Go to stoppoisoningparadise.org. Stoppoisoningparadise.org. And you can pull up some of that if you want to join in on the internet and see what we have. It's available. But anyway, Gary and Fern, I'll let each of you go and tell us what we have here.
Sure. I'll go ahead and start off, Carol. First of all, thanks a lot for having us on the show. You know, the issue of pesticides is been around for a long time, and on Kauai, the intensity of the use by the seed companies primarily, a handful of very large agrochemical companies who are just continuing to expand their operations on Kauai. I think that's really the crux of the matter. And what's happened is these companies now, after research, some extensive research we've done, you know, find out that they're spraying and applying in various ways a multitude of what they call restricted use pesticides. These are stuff like atrazine and paraquat and others that are banned in Europe, banned in other states. And the research that I've done shows that they're buying, without exaggeration, tons of this stuff and spraying it and putting it on their fields every day. And, you know, what impacts those have on people's health in the community or streams and you know, the environment, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't been, I've had to fight to get what information I've gotten. And they're not telling us about what they're spraying. They're misleading me on several occasions. They said that they're not experimenting, and I've discovered they do have experimental permits. I don't know if they're not experimenting what they have permits for, but they have permits, and they're not releasing those permits to me. So myself and Councilmember Tim Bynum introduced a bill, and it'll be heard for the first public hearing on Wednesday the 26th. And that bill requires disclosure. Basically, it says, just tell us, you know, tell us what you're applying, how much and where you're putting it. And it has buffer zones. You know, you can't put this stuff by schools and hospitals and streams.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has some other provisions banning open-air testing of both experimental GMOs and experimental pesticides. And then we have a moratorium saying we can't keep growing this industry until we do an EIS, the county, to determine what those impacts are. Because nobody knows. Everyone, you know, the industry's fond to talk about the studies that have been done, but no one has studied the impacts on Kauai County.
Mm-hmm. Fern, you want to add in?
You know, Gary just did a great job of summarizing the main points of the bill, and I think it actually, a lot of that comes down to the question that the first caller had with you about secrecy and about how little we're allowed to know about what's going on. And this is really the main point and a huge value that I see in the bill is really we're about to be able to, when this bill passes our county council and it becomes law, they will have to start telling us what they do. And to me, this is a huge milestone because we can't even determine or quantify what the impacts could possibly be until we know what they're doing and until we have the details about how what's being applied and where they're doing what testing. And right now it's just totally ambiguous to anyone. Nobody knows what's going on. So it's really a critical thing. And I couldn't be more grateful that this bill has been introduced on a county level. I believe that there's no other place for this to begin than a county level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's awesome. So I'm really grateful that it's you know, something that we can support now and that we're stepping in the right direction about leveling out the playing field for the average human being on this island. Because, you know, we live in a really small, enclosed place on a little island where we can't really escape, 3.5 tons of restricted-use pesticides annually, either accumulating in our soil, running off into our rivers, depositing on our coral reefs, wherever it may be. We need to understand the impacts of this. And until we do, for me, it's like I think around the world there's evidence to show that the impacts are already there, and there's all this science, and unfortunately the system that we work within wants to have all that up front before any kind of decisions are made, and oftentimes that becomes hard. So I feel like the impacts are going to be substantial, and hopefully we'll have strong, hard evidence of that that will allow us to move forward in rehabilitating our agricultural land once we know, what the real damage has been. Mm-hmm. So,
well, Gary,
yes.
Is it my suspicion, or I'm reflecting back on a lot of research that I've put into this, looking at Kauai seemed to be the place or the birthplace for a great many of these chemicals, or where they do a great bit of the testing. Agent Orange, if I recall, I went to one of the sites at, I can't think of the exact name of the place, where they actually, the UH was doing some studying. Is that the name of that site?
It was before my time, but there was Agent Orange used and stored in the Wailua area, actually above my house. Mm-hmm. A couple of miles from where I live. They were 55-gallon drums, apparently, where the Asian Orange was stored. And the history's a little murky on that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it comes back to that the public has a right to know where Asian Orange is, what happened to it. And I started the process out as a council member saying, I need to get good information. I don't know if the fears that people have are valid or not. And so I asked the four major seed companies, the GMOs and all the big companies that are using these, what are you using? I asked them in writing, please tell me. People are concerned. What kind of chemicals? How much are you using? And they refused to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we can find you somewhere else, but we're not going to tell you. Trust me. And so I did a records request from the Department of Ag. And they were very helpful, but it took a long time to get some information. The county had to spend $700. And still we don't know what the general use pesticides. We know they're using tons of restricted use.
Mm-hmm.
And we imagine they're probably using, 10 times that general use, the Roundups of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out another interesting thing. Because the companies kept telling me, we're just using the same thing all the other farmers are using. But I found that's not the case, not in Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
No other farmer, except Kauai Coffee, which is another major agribusiness, but no other farmer growing food to eat here locally or growing, flowers or whatever, is using these chemicals that these guys are using. And so it's troubling that they weren't up front with me from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me just want to dig deeper and ask more questions.
So how about the State Health Department Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch? Have you queried their files?
No, I haven't. The Department of Agriculture does most of the pesticide work. I've talked to the Water Department here. I've talked to the agencies on the mainland. This bill, and I have to say that the bill came about not just for me, but from community involvement. Fern played a role in it, and people would step up, and we kind of did it one step at a time, and gathered. I have binders, feet thick, like 3 feet of binders of information and data and research that we've done. half the lands, okay, half the lands that are being used are state lands. They're ceded lands. They're public lands.
Right.
And there's a greater level, there should be a greater level of accountability when you're using public resources. And even that didn't help.
So are there some Hawaiian homelands involved in this?
I know they're adjacent, I believe, to Hawaiian homelands. There's a lot in the definition, but it's my understanding that in general, state lands are ceded lands or crown lands. This is the Agricultural Development Corporation manages these for the state, and they've leased for pennies on an acre, just a small amount of money, thousands and thousands of acres.
Mm-hmm.
And small farmers are saying, hey, what about me? You know, how come we can't get that same deal? And this is prime agricultural land with water accessibility, you know, infrastructure, and they won't tell us what they're using and what they're doing.
You know, I'm sitting and listening to you, and I'm thinking possibly one way, this is if they're doing the job of having gotten an order from up top to not do the job. When they use these chemicals, they have canisters and residue and waste. Solid and hazardous waste. They have to dispose of it properly. They have to show what their disposition is. So I would encourage you to check with the solid and hazardous waste branch, because if they brought in 1,055-gallon drums, what are happening to those drums? Are they triple rinsing them and putting them on a barge and shipping them back to New York or wherever it originates? Or are they burying them here? And if so, are they burying them in the landfill? So I think you got an angle if you you could. I would suggest that there's a way to pry it out of the hand, believe you me.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. You know, I have requested and gotten from the Department of Ag their inspection log record.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a good number of those records, I would guess 15 or 20%, have been redacted.
Mm-hmm.
So any enforcement actions, any actions showing violations, those have mostly all been blocked out, so I can't see what those violations are or who they were against.
We're showing our hands. This is what, and to say that the trucking companies, when they transport it, if it's a hazardous waste or poisons, they have to have it placarded, then they have to have it manifested. So you might want to approach some of the trucking companies. And there is a way to get it. It's just that it's such a circuitous way, and unfortunately, our government agencies, they are told sometimes to stand back to let these processes occur.
And that's why this bill is so important, you know, and it's so reasonable. You know, it's just we have the right to know.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, these are bad chemicals. I mean, some of these labels are 100 pages long.
Wow.
And like you said, triple rinsing, the requirements, some banned in some states and many
mm-hmm.
countries. We're hopeful. I mean, on the Kauai County Council is 7 council members. So mm-hmm. it takes 4 votes to pass something into law, 5 to override a veto.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being co-sponsored with Councilmember Tim Bynum. So the two of us, that's 2 of the 4. And we're hopeful that our colleagues will... Excuse me, share our feelings and the feelings of the community, because this is really, really important to the community. I tell you, it's a long time coming.
Well, I'm often reminded how good of a person you are, and thank you for looking out for us, because we need your guidance. And as a former senator, and then you were OEQC head, here, and I want to, again, I've said it before, appreciate and thank you for just daring to do what you're doing. And Fern, anything you want to share with us as far as the your concerns from the marine environment, the impacts on the coral reefs, or is there any monitoring, or are they required to do any monitoring?
They will be required to do monitoring should we determine that their practices are allowed to remain here at all. So my understanding is after the EIS would be complete, we would then look at, permitting if certain activities are not, you know, determined to be too degrading for the county. We could look at permitting some of their activities, and that would require ongoing analysis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the problem with the marine ecosystems right now is this is a substantial issue, and it's not just you know, based in one simple answer, like stopping the biotech from doing what they're doing. I think there's a lot of factors that are playing into the demise of the marine ecosystems and the fisheries and the coral reefs, and then we have to look at a lot of different land management practices. But a lot of what the biotech corporations and mass-produced agriculture in that form, even like the sugarcane did, causes impacts because of the nature of how they're farming and the open areas that release topsoil into the water, into the, you know, reefs and smother the coral reefs. And then you've got that with fertilizers, which are probably, you know, one of the most damaging things when you're talking about throwing off the nitrogen and phosphorus balances in the ocean and creating like algal blooms or jellyfish, you know, booms and stuff like that to deal with the increased nutrients in the water. And then on top of, you know, the sediment and the nutrients, you've got toxic pesticides and herbicides and all kinds of other soil conditioners, and we actually don't even know. So, you know, this is just really, you know, like Gary said, it's a really reasonable bill. It's the beginning of finding out what's been going on so that we're not just walking around in the dark. And I think that's really the least that we can ask for at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a couple things that catches my eye here, and one of them is that once the application or the testing of it, they've applied it to the soil or to the air, when they're plowing, farmers are plowing, or whoever's testing it or using it, when they plow, the dust flies.
Right.
When they deposit it or apply it on the soil, the rain washes it down. You're pretty much at high elevation, right?
That's right. A lot of the lands are at a upper plateau kind of area, and in one area in Waimea, that's exactly what's happened. And communities that live downwind and below actually have a lawsuit pending against Pioneer Seed,
mm-hmm.
Claiming the very thing that you're talking about, pesticide-laden dust, blowing out their houses day after day after day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have people call me and say that they'll wake up in the middle of the night and then they can smell this stuff because the companies are spraying at night because they to avoid, you know, the community complaints, I guess. I don't know. But the dust is a huge problem. And, you know, we need to, you know, support our farmers. There's no question about that. We want to feed ourselves. We want to support and keep the green lands green. Keep agriculture and agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, it's the scale of this agrochemical industrial farming. You know, these are not, you know, truck farms growing lettuce and tomatoes. This is very intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Three and four crops a year, and, you know, spraying, you know, daily.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention what they're growing that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They are experimenting with plants and experiments where they're not approved for release into the environment. I mean, think about that for a second, right? Someone is experimenting with an organism into the environment, and we know what it is.
You're breaking up, Gary, you're breaking up a bit.
Right. It's not released into the open environment. It's not apparently supposed to be released into the open environment, yet we have it growing in substantial amounts of thousands of acres around our island, is what Gary's pointing out. They're not, you know, according to the USDA and the FDA, these crops that are being tested and experimented with here have never been approved for release into the open environment. And when you hear that, I think it really resonates with you, then why are they out in our open environment? And the pesticide-laden drift that we're talking about, I mean, throughout my degree, when I was doing pollution chemistry, we learned about, we had a whole lecture one day that was about pesticide drift. And that's exactly what they talk about. And there's science from around the world that demonstrates there's actually, you know, calculations that they've done to determine what your likely pesticide drift is with your distance from the nearest agricultural facility. And a lot of those studies weren't done relating to high-intensity farming or, you know, biotech experimenting with ag pesticides. This is just an average farm where people would not really be applying pesticides anywhere near as regularly or in the amount mm-hmm. that these biotech corporations are doing. And what it is as you go farther from the site of the agricultural facility, you get, like, at the beginning, it's a really high percentage of your dust is actually pesticide residue. Like,
mm-hmm.
is like 40% of your dust in a high agricultural area can actually be pesticides that have just attached to fragments in the air, like dirt, like what you're saying when they're plowing, and settling on your windowsills. I mean, you're breathing this dust, you're cleaning it up out of your home, you're totally engulfed in it, and yeah. There's nothing you can do about it.
It's so, filling the micropores of the soil and is just drifting. But here's one thing, if you folks could speak to, and the secrecy, as the caller had asked, it puts you in a bad position to really challenge, because if they're secretive about it and won't tell you what it is they're using, how do you muster up a fight to fight what you don't know?
No, it's a good point. I've had medical professionals, public health nurses, and others say they have patients that complain about symptoms and they believe that it's related to the pesticides, but they don't know what to test for. Mm-hmm. And unless you know what to test for, you don't know if you can do the right test or not.
And imagine paying to have them tested, the public trying to pay to have them tested. Well, what are we testing for? You don't have the money to cover that. Imagine trying to foot the bill to test for unknowns.
Exactly. And so once they disclose, and we've got some stiff penalties in the bill, and if they choose not to, or they choose not to to do it properly, once they disclose, then the county in the bill, as part of the EIS, will test. Mm-hmm. Test soil, water, air, and residents in the area who want to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to either put to rest the fears or prove one way or the other, you know, how bad it is. And then at the minimum have a baseline for the future when we do regular testing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me offer one disclaimer or clarification. Some of you in the fair and balanced world often ask, well, why don't you get the other side? Well, let me just tell you, I spend half my waking hours trying to talk to the other side, but when it's cloaked in secrecy, I'm not going to buy in that so-called fair and balanced, because even if they talk to me, it came on air, it's not going to be forthright with the information. There's secrecy. So for those of you that are seeking fair and balanced, I would encourage you to listen to this portion of it and what we have to say, and then take it upon yourself to try and penetrate that wall of secrecy, and then call the state agencies and ask them to produce the documents. And I think that's about as fair as we could possibly get. It'll never be balanced. I'll just tell you, the way they've moved in. I drove Cuneo yesterday. Very few signs up to even tell you who is operating. Used to be Pioneer, Garce, they'd have signs. Now, the signs you see now is, keep out. You will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. So that's the fair and the balanced part of it.
And, you know, I grow increasingly distrustful also of the information. You know, the industry has been putting out these economic reports, Carol, you know, talking about the jobs and the benefits to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And putting out talking points and referring to an executive summary of a study. and I asked for a copy of the study and have yet to get it.
Yeah.
I've gotten all kinds of reasons, excuses. The study's not ready. We can't release it. But they're releasing the talking points. They're releasing the headlines.
Controlling the situation.
Yeah,
let me see if this the callers, just entertain one call here, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question for them?
Yes, I do. You know, speaking about fair and balance,
mm-hmm.
Let me turn this off here.
They're coming to
I
get
think
you,
Gary Hoosier could introduce into legislature banning and controlling home pesticides. Now, in the area of Raid, Roundup, and other things you use. Now, in the home, say you buy Raid to control flies and mosquitoes in your house. You spray and the mist goes all through the house. Babies, children, and occupants will be breathing in the spray, which could be harmful. Spraying in the yard to control insect pests. Children play in the yard and play in the grass. And And backyard farming, you could use insecticides to control the insects that could, you know, eat your lettuce and tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think...
Come on, move on with your question, or is this a dissertation? Come on.
I got another call.
Okay, well, you got to answer that.
I'll come back. Can I respond to that, Carol?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I can't hear your response, so I have to turn the radio
Alrighty.
Back.
Okay. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, when we started looking at the whole issue of pesticides here, when I started digging into it, you know, a lot of people would raise, well, what about the golf courses? What about the state spraying roads? What about people, you know, spraying Roundup in their yard? And as I looked into the issue and started learning more about the different kinds of pesticides, it became really clear to me that the worst of the worst are what they call RUPs, restricted use pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I did the information request from the Department of Ag, I found that the county and the state, for the most part, don't use these pesticides. I'm not saying Roundup's good stuff, but they're not using the restricted use, and homeowners aren't using restricted use. And 99% of this use, and again, it's tons of it, is by five companies. And so, I'm not in a position to take on the entire pesticide world, that's for sure. But I do believe that we could address the very worst problem. And then if we want to look at the county's use or the state's use, we should certainly do that. But
mm-hmm.
right now, the only people using these restricted-use pesticides are these five companies.
Right. Can I expand a little bit, too, on that, Charles?
Yeah, go ahead. Help you.
What the caller is concerned about, unfortunately, a lot of the general-use pesticides we are... it's harder to restrict any access or use to a lot of these things. It's a statewide pesticide regulation for general use, a little bit more so in that, general use pesticides, unfortunately for the caller that called up earlier, the situation basically in America is right now is that you're a victim of the intelligence of your parents. And if your parents are utilizing highly toxic chemicals in your yard, or even excessive uses of pesticides and, everyday herbicides, there could be impacts to your children in the future. And we're not going to know those impacts for a really long time because usually that's the way that these things work. I mean, DDT was introduced into the 40s and it was waived as the salvation of, the people that was going to save humanity from malaria. And it took like 30 or 40 years before it was actually acknowledged that, yes, these are... This chemical is impacting people's lives, possibly causing cancer and destroying the health of not only humans and the human environment, but the ecosystem. And in this particular case, was almost the reason that the bald eagle went extinct.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't find out the impacts to a lot of these things for a very long lag time. And so while I encourage strongly people to use alternative methods of weed control, I mean, for some weeds, vinegar works just as good as Roundup. For some things, there are other opportunities, especially in a small area, to manage your pest problem without using persistent toxic pesticides. But unfortunately, there's very little ways. I mean, there's a lot of freedom around people's choice these days, and people have the choice to buy these chemicals and use these chemicals. And it's really about education in our community at this stage. And I do encourage statewide legislation to continually be strengthened and introduced that would help to protect families from these pesticides. I mean, we already are in the age of information about Roundup. We've gotten past the, oh, Roundup's going to save the world. And we're really, like, information's coming up from around the world. Wait, it's not, breaking down. It is impacting the human environment. It's actually an endocrine disruptor that we didn't realize it was. And a lot of the pesticides and biocides that we're dealing with, we don't know what the impacts are, except for now we're learning that they're impacting hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't even known to science 15 years ago. So it's just a new, we're constantly on the forefront of information about the toxicity of these things. And
mm-hmm.
and so, all we can really do is urge people to be cautious, especially around their children.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, there's the effort with you. You are, Fern, you're in Ohana, Kauai, right? You're the director?
I'm one of the directors, yes.
And so this effort... There's a petition. Can you steer us to the website so that if listeners out there want to participate or
Absolutely. So we, all of our, the campaign is a combined effort. It's not just an Ohana Kauai campaign by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually endorsed by many, many local groups and advocacy groups, and we are working together as a coalition on this. So we've actually set up an independent campaign website, and it's called StopPoisoningParadise.org.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a lot of information, links to other more detail, and also the bill is available, and you can sign the petition through that as well. We also have, Ohana Kauai has a website as well, so I'd encourage anyone to find out more about what we do. We're a voice of people in the community that's rising up together to create active change in the community where we see, areas for our legislation to be improved or our community and our environmental management. And so we're becoming active on a lot of fronts, not just, politically, but, in a gardens and backyard gardens, we're trying to help families lower the cost of food. We have a very unique issue here on Kauai. I mean, we are out in the middle of the ocean. I mean, all of Hawaii, really. We're all in the middle of the ocean, and we import 85-90% of our food. That's a homeland security issue. And the cost of food it's almost a class issue. Our classes are being divided by your wealth, and, there's a direct relationship between poverty and health. And, people can't afford to eat lettuce and cucumber, so they eat salmon rice. And I think we've got a major, Ohana'o Kauai has a goal of 20 years' time to reverse that. So within 20 years, we'd like to see Kauai producing 85 to 90% of its food rather than importing 85 to 90% of its food. And in the process, we have to deal with a lot of these hurdles like, holding the biotech corporations accountable for the destruction of our agricultural land.
Gary, and I'll give it back to you. This is why I was excited when I received this note that you had introduced this bill. Let's stand back, and the caller earlier talked about using RAID and spraying it in the household. Let's step back and have an experience to understand the greater impact. You spoke about DDT. We're in the middle of the ocean. We are responsible for our actions, and these actions are to use unknown chemicals, pesticides, and biocides, and all of those things. If we're doing that, guess where it's all going to go? Not just going to affect the ecosystem immediately around Kauai, but we're talking about the different currents that migrate, that moves through here. And
right.
Imagine we're depositing. So for those of you that think this is about RAID and bug spray in the microwave or whatever it is that you, let's get past that and understand. As
right.
People who live in the middle of the ocean where the currents are coming through, you're not just contaminating the ocean or in the immediate area. And then the planktonic matter and all of those things. And if we don't know what's being used, then how can we even regulate or speak to specific impacts?
That's Gary? Right. And atrazine actually travels 1,000 miles in rainwater alone.
Mm-hmm.
So the movement of these chemicals, it's not just current. It goes up into the clouds, and it rains down on the other side of the island. So even if you're not immediately, right there being sprayed on, it could be being deposited on your farm on the other side of the island. And so, yeah, not only are there currents, but it's being taken up into our atmosphere. It's totally cycling. It's not just poisoning an immediate area.
Terrestrial animals are impacted. So what about the oceanic or the pelagic, the bacteria or the planktonic matter and the larvae of various fish and other species?
And, I think Fern talked on it a little bit, and so did you, Carol, that touched on it. The other underlying issue here, which is to me just very inspirational, is the community stepping forward and saying that we're not going to look the other way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is impacting our community. It's impacting the world. And so, we look around here on Kauai, and you've seen it around the state.
Mm-hmm.
As people are gathering and saying, no, we're taking responsibility, and we're going to demand our government to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this issue, I've been around, as you have, and, politics and issues and controversies for many years. And I have never seen a situation like it is today with the awareness and the passion and the commitment. People young and old from all walks of life, all ethnicities, saying that we don't like this. We're concerned about it. We don't like the poisoning of our communities and our planet and our oceans, and we want something done about it. That's a loud and clear message. And they're not just yelling and screaming either. They're stepping up and supporting bills like this and, you know, getting on the radio and writing letters. And it's a real solid movement grounded on core values. And the more people learn, the more committed they are. And I think that's one reason the industry doesn't want people to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you learn what these chemicals are and what they do, then, who knows what's going to happen in terms of political sentiment in the community.
Well, without throwing rocks at the situation, what I can deduce is that they've stripped any oversight, and by placing it in the, which is normal, the state agriculture department. But again, you might want to go to the HERE office, Hazardous and Emergency Response, because when they deposit these things, they have in the soil. So maybe you can see if they're reporting what they're using through the HERE office, because the EALs, environmental action levels, right?
Yeah.
That they look at chlordane and dieldrin and aldrin. So I would say it's suspect when they've stripped all of that away and then you can't get anything from the agriculture department, because the agriculture department don't demand much. I don't know if that is accurate, but in the past experiences, they tend to just be a recipient or a repository of what these industries want to just give them and not make it mandatory.
Right, and the industry goes to the Department of Ag with their lawyers and says, well, you can't release this information. This is proprietary. This is, privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Department of Ag having to argue with industry lawyers. And at the end of the day, the industry lawyers win.
Right, because the Attorney General deputy for that agency isn't school or skill. Probably never tried a case in life. And when the big wigs with the three-piece suits on show up, let me tell you, it's a sad sight to witness what happens. There's no match. David and Goliath.
Yeah.
I can just tell you from previous experiences, we're left exposed to these behaviors. We, the people. Let me see. There's a caller. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, the comment or question is around health. These people commented, looking back, that they've seen ecological and marine affectations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'd be willing to suggest that they're noticing human affectations. Now, with the baby boom getting older and people falling sick because of exposures to these things and our health care plan already over demanded, what is their forward-looking thinking in the area of health care? I'll try to keep the question that simple.
So,
Fern or go ahead.
I was going to say that my focus is entirely on this one particular issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my position, as you know, is a county council member, and so I'm trying to do as much as I can within the legal and political parameters that I work in.
Right, right.
And even then, the industry is arguing, well, the county shouldn't be doing this. It's a state federal issue. And healthcare certainly is important, but that's not something the county most strictly did. Personally, I support universal health care, a single-payer system. But we're stuck in this downward spiral with our health care. It's not just pesticides, it's factory food in general, too much sugar, too much processed food. The industry corporations are feeding all this stuff, and more people are becoming aware. But like Fern was saying, it turns into a class issue, that people can't afford real food. It's a tough one. My focus is on what we can do at the county level. And we've had many, many attorneys from many different organizations, private attorneys, public attorneys, look at this bill, Carol, and clear it to go. We do have the authority to do what we're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
but I know we're going to get fought every step of the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I applaud you for doing it. And again, if you want to, listeners out there, if you want to participate or get support, there is a petition. Fern, you can give that site again?
Yeah, it's stoppoisoningparadise.org, all one word.
Stoppoisoningparadise.org. We got a few more minutes. Go ahead, and I don't need to ask questions. If you want to, you have some specific you want to leave us with?
I was going to expand just a little bit about the healthcare. I don't know too much about the issue personally in that. I just spent a lot of time in Australia where everybody kind of gets basic healthcare. And, you know, it's a sad situation to come home to. And, you know, I'm concerned about it. I'm deeply concerned about the health of our communities. And I think that, you know, this bill will help to set things in the right direction for health. Like Gary was saying, if you don't know what to test for, you don't know if somebody's being impacted by these pesticides. And with such a huge range of these pesticides being applied, we need a whole list, and we need a good understanding of what's most likely being used and what's most likely to be tested for to see if that may be the cause of someone's health issues. I know that we have health issues, and that's something that, you know, I've been trying and encouraging other people to get the statistics on so that we have a good idea of what the actual health impacts are. You know, because even if we don't know 100% that you can link it back, if we have, like, excessive rates of a certain type of cancer and we can look at different things that may be triggering that cancer and then show that one of those things is used in mass, we might be able to start making, you know, correlations that this thing could potentially be causing people on our island cancer. And all of these things do come back to our health issue, and hopefully if we can have a healthier community, we won't have such a burden on our health system.
Well, go ahead, Gary. You there, Gary? No,
you. You know, another thing, too, if you do want to talk a little bit about some of the other impacts of these corporations, you know, I want people to understand that this is just the beginning of us trying to determine what is going on, and I encourage people to join us and be involved and to please write testimony to encourage the other Tony Tonto members to support Gary's bill. It's really important that we get this passed. And it might seem like so basic to so many of us, like, oh, well, duh, we have the right to know. You know, they'll all say that we have the right to know. And, you know, I do actually have faith that they will. I think we have a very bold and amazing county council. And I think that they genuinely care about the people and will see the reason in this bill. But I do encourage other people to show their support, because I know that there'll be all kinds of exaggerated claims coming from the other side and coming from the seed industries telling people that, you know, it's going to affect jobs and it's going to affect other farmers. And a lot of these things are just not going to be true. And the county council is going to need a lot of support from the people, that this is what the people want, mm-hmm. and that we're not standing idle anymore and allowing these corporations to make the decisions for what happens here and the health and future of not only us, but the land that we live on. And there's one thing I'd like to spread out to the people of Hawaii to think about. You know, we have a state constitution that is based around preservation and protection of our lands. It's based around ua mau ke ea oka aina I ka pono and the concepts that we protect our environment. And, you know, I think and I encourage people out there that are in studying law or investigating environmental law or state law that they look closer at some of the requirements mm-hmm. for us to protect our environment.
Right.
And then, you know, particularly when we talk about agriculture, you know, in our state constitution, in Article 11, it does mandate that the state has to preserve and protect agricultural lands and promote diversified agriculture. Mm-hmm. It also says that, you know, we need to ensure that food-grade farming is able to be done in the future.
Right.
And I think that, you know, it's blatant that these biotech corporations are breaking our constitution. And if they're, you know, I'm not a lawyer, or at least not yet, but I'm certainly considering it at this stage. You know, we need people to hold these people accountable and say, well, you know, I'm going to challenge this because I actually think that you are meeting the definition of not preserving and protecting our agricultural land.
Right.
You know, you're killing the bacteria in our soil, which is the very life. In essence, it is the definition of the life of the soil.
Okay. Hey, we're coming down to the few minutes. Gary, call back. Are you there, Gary?
Yeah. Dropped, and I know you got to drop.
Gary?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
You're breaking up there. Go ahead. We're coming down to the last minute or so, so I'm just making sure. I can't hear you there. You're not coming too clear.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So I just want to say thank you for letting us on the show today.
And you know, it's an important issue, and we're working really hard. You know, the entire state is going to be watching this, and we just go forward and do it.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it again, and I'll keep posted. We'll link this to carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. And I really appreciate and applaud you for keeping up the fight. And it's to be able to sit through and sort through all of this, and like the caller asked, what about the health risk? Well, that's good, but it's also taxing right now. We're not worried about the health risk, so get the bill. You've introduced the bill. This is where we are at this level. The chemicals might just be contributing to the health and safety of the public, but we will never know unless we're able to be provided with the specific information, which this bill seeks to do, correct?
That's right. That's right. And it's not really questioning or talking about the merits of biotechnology. It's really about the right to know and the local impact.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know DDT is showing up in South America and other places, and so and other. We see the organs of certain fish being enlarged due to certain chemicals and what have you that we're using in agriculture. Just right here on the Haleiwa side, in the waters out there, you know, even human estrogens and what have. So all of these things should be addressed.
And you know, Carol, these are multi-billion-dollar companies. Mm-hmm. You know, multinational companies that this extra requirement that you tell us what's going on is not going to break them. It's not going to cause them to go out of business or cost jobs or anything like that. You know, the sky's not going to fall.
Right.
So we deserve the right to know, and we're going to fight for the right to know here on Kauai. I know that.
Well, great. I'm standing here supporting you. Anytime you want to update or call in, please feel free, and I appreciate it. And Fern, thank you. You have a closing comment?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for getting the message out to the state. Thank you for having me and caring about, you know, the issue. And please keep talking about it and feel free to give me a call anytime. And, yeah, thank you.
I'm going to hold you to that now. You're going to say
my Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you both, Gary and Fern. Aloha.
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 Okay, for the callers, if you want to add comment in the next hour, you're welcome to. We're going to have Dr. Keone Dudley calling in, and we're going to have also Pearl Johnson, Miss Pearl Johnson from League of Women Voters, to update us on some projects they have. But again, for those of you out there that think that it's meddling when your chemicals being used all around you, and you ask, what is it? We have to stand up and just ask this one question. Why can't you just simply tell us? Tell me. And remember, what goes up must come down. So when you spray chemicals, and yeah, you can spray Raid, and I know the old argument, but let's think bigger. You don't even have to use Raid, to be honest with you, or any chemicals. There are other alternatives. So think and don't blink. We'll see you in the next hour.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
And I also want to welcome back Francis. He's looking good and tall and as handsome as ever. Welcome back. All right.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. Walking
the bar. Hound, boogie the hound. Oh, watch out, strange can people go. Little red roses on the plow.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. For some of you callers that had called in the last hour, entertain a couple of minutes if you had a burning question or comment, but anyway, on pesticides. But I think that when we speak to all of this, secrecy, and when I hear the Snowden thing and how it's being served up, he violated the law, and he did this, and he's on the run, he's a criminal on the run. My question is, is there any criminals that were responsible for this, the illegal tapping, wiretapping, all of these things? But America, I would submit that you don't have to worry about the terrorists coming and taking you over. You've already been taken over. You are there. It's just a matter of when someone bother to put their neck on the line to disclose or divulge bad behavior that affects free people, the free people turn around and look at the person that the leaker with jaundiced eyes. That's my take on it, and it's a sad day, but that's where we are headed. You complain about everything in the world, your taxes, your local politicians screw you, the just anything and everybody just screw you. We contract out everything. I mean everything. You go to the city and county of Honolulu. They got a landfill. We got an army of people working. We've hired, put them on staff, paying them big bucks, family medical, and all of that, vacation. And guess what? And pension plans. Ask them one question, and they will tell you, I have to consult the contractor who actually does the work that you hired me for. So, hey, guys, don't worry about the drones. Don't worry about anything. You're working for the queen bee now. That's what you are. You've bought into this game. They can feed you poisons. They can test poisons. They can do anything. And we're going to be talking about, there's a new proposal down in the Pacific here to use another island, the Pecan Island, to as a bombing range, the U.S. Marines. And we're going to talk about that. But for right now, I think I have Dr. Keone Dudley. We'll see. Good morning, Carl. Do you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I'm not Keone Dudley.
Hold on one second. Hold your horse for a minute. Hold on. Good morning, Carl. Do you have a comment or question? Is this Dr. Dudley?
Oh, no, this is Richard DeConnie.
Okay, hold on. Go ahead, Ed. I'll let you take up first.
Yeah, Carol. You know, I couldn't finish my call because I had an important call when I mentioned about Hoosier introducing legislation to control of household pest control products. In addition, I didn't get to ask Gary if he gets any campaign funds from Monsanto and how much, but I guess he's gone. maybe he's willing to divulge that, yes or no, and call back. That was my final question.
Can you help me? Give me a little insight, because I've never met you in person. And let the other listeners, you have some awesome questions, but does he get any monies from them? Are you suggesting he's benefiting from going out and asking Monsanto not after he's taken their money and then out fighting them?
I'm not sure.
Let's give the man some credit. I mean, if he's on the take, if we want to imply, and I don't know if he has donations or not, but that speaks to what I just said earlier about the Americans. The guy that comes to you and warn you, you want to beat up on him and then lay back and say, well, I can trust everything else. So it's up to you. But ask yourself, if he is getting money from Monsanto, why on earth is he out here now talking to him? Are you suggesting he didn't get enough? He's pissed at him? What would be the logic?
It was a just simple question, because
there are no simple questions, Ed, in this mature world today.
Of GMOs, we have many legislatures who are getting campaign funds from.
Yeah, but you're older than I am, and I've just turned 60, and I've learned there are no simple questions, because if anybody quantify or characterize a question as simple.
It was a simple question. Does he get funds? Campaign funds from Monsanto, yes or no, and how much?
Well, okay. I tell you what, write him a letter.
That's not a secret.
Right, it's not a secret. If now you're suggesting that he's lying, let me suggest to you, go to campaign spending, the reports. You can go right there to the State Campaign Spending Commission, and he makes a report. You can go there, Honolulu, Hawaii.gov, go to Campaign Spending Commission, and there you'll see if he's gotten money, and you know he's gotten money and he's lying about it. I would say call back on the show and we'll take the spear and stab him. But
okay,
if not, I'm just trying to find out where I can position you in life in this thing we call the Carol Cox Show, because sometimes I welcome all your comments. But again, so the man is out saying we shouldn't be using chemicals without the public's knowledge, and we should have disclosure, so he puts a bill in. And so Ed over there in the peanut gallery says, let me see if he's getting money from the people he's complaining about. So I'm not being disrespectful.
More,
I just want
one more thing.
Okay.
I grew up in the Eva Beach area, and during the sugarcane fields all surrounded our
right.
home. And the aircraft sprayed insecticides daily, on a weekly basis of the cane fields. Remember these agricultural aircraft?
Not only did they spray, they manufactured it right there in Eva Beach. So
yeah,
maybe that's impacting
your thoughts.
They
sprayed, and I'm sure the drift came over our homes.
Yeah.
But there was no Carol Cox then to say, hey, you're endangering the people who live downdrift, downwind of your spraying of the cane fields.
Right, there should have been, and we may not have had deformed babies. We may not have had possibly cancers of certain types, and we may not have had the decline in species of various birds and the weakening of the eggshells. And who knows what goes on as we go on through life. We still haven't seen the clock tick.
We already know sugar is bad for you.
Well, exactly, how sweet it is. But anyway, let's...
Anyway, thanks for
I'm going to follow up on the donations, and then we'll hammer it out,
him
back.
I'll Google the Hawaii Commission.
But turn your spear toward the state capital, my friend. That's where the real enemy is. The real enemy, they are the ones who are allowing the non... They refuse. Your city council here refused to have them to label anything. Why don't you sharpen your spears and
Carol
pull them
Cox,
that direction?
You and I have the same enemies, legislature and city council.
Exactly. So let's go fight them.
Okay.
All right. Aloha.
Thanks, bye.
I blew it and disconnected Richard.
That's all right. I'm here.
Okay. Keone, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hi.
I'm sorry. I thought I was supposed to call at 9:20.
That's okay. Hold on. Just keep in mind, this isn't the science department here. This is, I'll remind you, it's the Carol Cox Show, so expect anything, okay? Anyway, why would I say such deprecating? Welcome, and what's going on? I got your email, and we were talking briefly about
We're having a town hall meeting on Tuesday evening at Kapolei High School from 7 o'clock to 9:30 to discuss the EVA development plan. It's also going to be shown on Channel 54 live at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And the EVA development plan is going to really put into law the fact that the Ho'opili project is determined for that farmland area. That really would seem like, well, okay, so what? Except that once it's law, then when the developers of Ho'opili come to the city council for zoning, there's no way to stop them because the EVA development plan will have said that that's where that housing goes.
Mm-hmm.
And, Carol, we have 34,805 houses already zoned for our area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ready to build. We don't need this extra 12,000 houses to take our best farmland and to further complicate our traffic situation.
Mm-hmm.
End our freshwater supply. I mean, you know, these are major things that people are not aware of that are going to happen if this EVA development plan in its present form is passed. And so, you know, we're trying to have this town hall meeting, you know, to get as many people as we can to come and as many more to watch on Channel 54.
And where is this, again, where is the town meeting going to be? The
Kapolei High School cafeteria.
And what date?
It's going to be on Tuesday, June the 25th,
mm-hmm.
which is this coming Tuesday, from 7 o'clock to 9:30.
Mm-hmm. Now, a couple things with this these developments that they're planning. Where's water going to come from, and is anyone asking to do an environmental impact statement solely based on the impacts of the water, drinking water? I would think that's a substantial hurdle for the developers and the government who wishes to pave the way and get them into the develop. Is this going to be addressed at your town hall meeting?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Basically, Carol, you know, there's a watershed study that is going on at the present time.
Mm-hmm.
And my interaction with Gary Utagawa at the Board of Water Supply and with Bruce Tsuchida, who is doing the study, is that, you know, they're really honestly looking for answers. But one of the problems that they have is that the city is unwilling to give them census figures. It's unwilling to, you know, the city really, the Department of Planning and Permitting right now, is really doing a job on everything. I mean,
mm-hmm.
They're feeding numbers to OMPO, the Oahu Metropolitan Planning Organization, which does the roads. They're feeding them figures that say the traffic is going to be wonderful in 2035.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's just nuts. I don't know what's going on, but you know, what's coming out of the city, your friends down there, is just unreliable, just unreliable. And so you get complaints back from the inside people at OMPO and the inside people, you know, in this watershed study that, man, you can't work with what you got.
Yeah, let me see if I can quantify this. When I arrived here, I recall them telling you there was a shortage of water and the reservoirs were draining and what have you, and you couldn't get just a glass of water without asking for it. It was so dire that you could only serve a glass of water if you were asked for it. Now, that same Board of Water Supply and the same manager is still in place, and yet now they're talking about some 22 towers down in Kaka'ako area, whatever it is, and then out there in Ho'opili. Are we being duped? No, do we have water on the brain?
No, we're being duped. You know, 3 years ago, when I started with the Ho'opili case, I really went into the water situation and studied it out. And if you use the figures that they had published at that time, you came to the conclusion that before Ho'opili would be done, 4,000 houses before it's done, we would run out of water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's without Kaka'ako. That's totally without Kaka'ako, okay? So, you know, and then there are papers that say that by 2018 we will move into desalination. And now they're telling us that because of low flush toilets, we don't have to worry about desalination until far into the future because these low flush toilets are making such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe that low flush toilets make a difference, but, you know, you build a lot of towers down in Kaka'ako and you put every single house in out here, we're going to be out of water.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the thing is that we can't allow running out of water to be something that we just sit back and let other people take care of. That is an absolute turning point for this island, you
mm-hmm.
know.
That
we have surpassed the carrying capacity of the island, and we're moving on into a future that is just unlimited paving over the island.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to stand up at the carrying capacity limit, and, you know, and long before it, that's why we're standing up now, and say, you know, we just are not going to permit desalination, and we're going to live within the realm of the fresh water we got.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's on Tuesday evening at Coppoli High School. That is from 7 to 9.
Yes, and also on Channel 54 Live.
Okay.
And we sure hope people watch it.
All righty.
Thank you,
Dr.
so much,
Dudley.
Carol.
Aloha.
Right.
Aloha. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Thank you for taking my
call. Yeah, sorry to disconnect you there.
No, listen, never, never apologize. You disconnect me every day for the rest of my life. No, I wanted very, very quickly, if people do not think there is a consistency about every issue, every entity, every problem, and I'm going to finish with this, one book, it was written in 1935, it's called It Can't Happen Here. It's by Sinclair Lewis, and it is an excellent book. It's fiction, it's a novel, and it's something that everybody should read. And I stop. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
Goodbye.
Aloha. Well, this is, we'll see if Ms. Pearl Johnson called in, too, but don't mean to throw so much at you, but there are some serious issues here, and it all goes back to our government failing us. And I don't mean in the sense that everybody's walking around with masks in the state offices or the city offices. I just believe they have abandoned us, and the unions want big bucks. They want to ensure that they have the benefits, and they want to make sure that their presidents of the unions get their $220,000, $300,000, whatever, and the benefits there, and all in the name of it's going to make jobs, and it's going to do this, and it's all going to be good for us. I'd like to look at the Randy Pereiras and ask them, what do you really make? And then what are you doing for the workers at Border Water Supply as a representative? I haven't heard any major complaints or legal actions taken against Border Water Supply on behalf of the workers. So when we step back and look at it all, we are just simply, I think, the gun sight. We're in the sights of everyone, whether it's at the airport, their private securities. They will approach you and violate your rights. Occasionally I have them approach me, and I'm just exercising my rights to be breathing and have a right to be on a public sidewalk. And I'm approached by an unskilled and an untrained security guard. Who do you call and complain? Well, if you call the state who hired these guys, they can't be found, and they don't want to hear the story or don't want to do anything. And so we must ask ourselves, do we need contractors? Look at the Snowden situation. We have military people. Why aren't they listening in? Why do we have to have contractors? What you see with the Snowden thing is we've talked about it over and over. You hire contractors, and then you hire city workers. So you have two armies of people. One get paid in the millions. The others get paid in benefits and education and all of that, and travel and vacation. And you, the taxpayer, me, you, we ended up on the short end of the stick, so to speak. So, again, I was going to tell you about quickly, down in around Saipan, there is a concern that they are now trying to, the military, wishes to bomb an island. And I've talked about this, a similar situation on Farallon de Medinilla down in the South Pacific, where off Saipan and Guam in that area. They are actually bombing their endangered species, the megapodes, and other species that are on these islands. And now they want to station Marines on these islands and bomb them. Now, the community down there, the people, fought the proposed actions to mine it by the Japanese. They won that battle, and now the U.S. United States Marine Corps wishes to go there and set up bombing range like they did Coal Lavi and other places. So if you want to, again, I know that a lot of these things is contrary to being American and taking and wrapping yourself in the flag, but there's no stronger person in believing in America than I. But that doesn't mean we just turn our back on the environment. Don't mean we turn our back and abandon common sense. It would be un-American as far as if I were to say. So those of you that have a tendency to say, oh, there to go again, American bashing. We need the Army. We can train. We can do all kinds of things. But to take the megapode, for example, is a bird that nests in the ground. It struggles to collect leaves. It lays the eggs and creates. It's called an oven bird for a common name. And it takes its eggs and places them in a mound like an alligator or a crocodile would do with leaf material. And the decaying leaf material creates heat. So instead of sitting around like an old hen and trying to hatch an egg, see, this bird became smart, you see. He didn't just sit around hatching. He places the egg in the mound, and the decaying material actually serves as an incubator. The heat generated from spontaneous combustion, and the egg, voila, pops out. Well, having evolved to do that, now he has to evolve and dodge bullets, I don't know, and bombs. The Marines are going to come in, and that's the proposal. So I'll post up a link, and if those of you are inclined to write the Marines or the federal government and tell them that you're opposed to it or that you think they should consider something else, it will be there, and you can find it at carolcox.com. So anyway, it's just something that keeps coming at us, folks. There's no stopping. And in island communities, we can't afford it. We just can't afford it. We talk about the fragility of our environment. Well, for those of you that are not into this environmental thing, let's just call it your nest or your home or the home for human beings. Maybe that would stimulate you. But if we keep degrading it and destroying it and ripping it apart and disrespecting it, I don't care what you call it or what your stance is philosophically, if you think you should support the American Army and the American government and all of them, I say at this pace, just hold your hat, and you won't have anywhere to live. You really won't. You'll be walking around with a suit, if you're lucky, if you can afford it. Or you might be living at Lanai, where they'll probably have clean air pumped to them, and all the people with money can fly in over you. But I'm being a little ridiculous, but you get the point. We need to do more and then start to understand, and I'm not preaching to you. It's just that we were sent down the wrong path. Trust your government. Don't question authority. All of that. And imagine, look where we are today. Trust your government. I mean, as I've told you many a times, as an African-American, I don't get bothered. I don't get gray hair. I don't get nervous that the FBI or the CIA or anybody's following me, because they've always had a stick up my butt or something to find out where we were, and they never respected our rights anyway. So I would say, I don't want to be foul-mouthed, but this is, you get to feel what it's been like to grow up, and now you understand why we have hypertension. We, as African Americans, just kidding you. But again, this is nothing new. And you ask the average person in the inner cities, the police beat the snot out of them, falsely arrest many of them. The jails are filled with mostly a large number of African Americans. And in fact, there are more blacks incarcerated now than there were enslaved. So, again, I wish someone asked, well, why don't you do a show on Snowden? Why should I? I've been living it since I came into the world. I've been living it as a young black man. Be careful. You can't go to school by yourself. Don't get home before nighttime. Do this. Watch out. Or you've been picked up by the police and no rights read to you or anything. So the Patriot Act and re-signing it by Obama and all of that is nothing. We've had the Patriot Act in the African-American community, in the African-American society, before we became patriots. And so, again, my hat's off to Snowden. And if you folk missed the point that something is terribly wrong, you can justify it in being logical and educated and giving it from that perspective. But the problem is that your free speech, your life, the basic functions in your life is being taped, videotaped, recorded, stored. For what purpose? So, and imagine if they're doing that, are they recording who you vote for, how you vote? Where does it stop, right? So these are the problems that we find ourselves dealing with today. And I was looking at, there's Chun James out in Haula side. I don't know the details, and I will follow up with later, but the city and county of Honolulu, she has a video posted up on YouTube. You can, eminent domain. The city and county of Honolulu went on her property and took signs out on private property, tore the signs down. Now, I know there are signage law, but I don't know if she had a situation where she was told, and there's a notice of order or fine for it, but the government coming on private property and tearing out signs, I don't know if it's freedom of speech, but there's a judicial process that she could have been fined and she would have to be afforded due process. But again, these are the kinds of things that we see our rights eroded, and we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's taking place. And many of you probably just dismiss it as just people complaining. And I don't think so. I think what's happening is that we've been taught to be fearful of our government now. They have us in the right place. Don't speak up. Even for a guy like me who speak up, so to speak, but I'm not speaking up. I swear to you, this has come as easy as breathing. I'm not a hero. I'm not doing anything other than just exercising my freedom as a human being. I can speak, and I choose what to speak on. That's all I'm doing. It's not heroic. It's not something out of the ordinary. You can do the same thing. But through this process of jobs and church, and the education you receive, you've been told to trust the government. Don't ever challenge the government. And if you do, you may find yourself up in jail or killed or never being able to get a job or be kicked off the plantation or something in that vein. Guess what, folks? Drones are not the problem. The American citizen is the problem. We have been so casual and caught up in the day of working and what have you. So Snowden is on the run, but guess who really is being impacted? You and I. I mean, they probably even know what your favorite pie is now. So if you decide to change pie, you better get permission from the government. I think that's where it's headed, my friend. They'll be able to dictate whatever. Come in. And as Gary Hoosier was talking in the earlier hour, why would we have a state health department, the Environmental Protection Agency, and all of those, and companies can come in and pour out chemicals and test them and use them and never disclose what they're using? That's something to think about. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, this is Pearl Johnson. How are you, Carol?
I'm fine. Pearl Johnson from the League of
League of Women Voters.
Yes. And I had asked you to call in because you have some event on June 20th.
That's right. Next Saturday, mm-hmm. we're going to have a forum on the city budget when rail is in operation.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people realize that once rail is in operation, that 19% of the city budget will go to public transit. Right now, that figure is 10%. And this 19% is based on the city's own optimistic assumptions of ridership.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that it's going to go higher, but let's just work with 19%.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to the rest of the city budget? Well, the city spends money on police and fire, road maintenance, some human services, and the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And, what do you think is going to be cut? I don't think we're going to cut down on police and fire. We're not going to cut road maintenance, at least we hope. But parks, you know,
mm-hmm.
parks is flexible. If you don't spend it, then there's only an outcry from people who use parks. But, you know, we think that parks are very vulnerable once rail is in operation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Carol?
Well, I think the rail is going to suck up or zap quite a bit of it, and even if, as they're showing here, what is it? The bus is estimated at 19% of the total city budget.
Well, it's not just bus. It's bus and rail and handy van.
Right. And so what are they going to – what are you going to do with this in this meeting? You're going to introduce some challenges to this?
Well, we're going to have four panelists. Ann Kobayashi,
mm-hmm.
who is the council member in charge of budget. She's mm-hmm. chair of the budget committee. Natalie Iwasa, who is a CPA and testifies frequently before the city council, she watches the city budget and is one of the few people who is able to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
A third member is Matthew Lynch, who is trying to remake Kamali'i Park downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that?
I've heard of one of the people downtown were telling me the other day when I was photographing. But when is it going to start, or is it?
Oh, it's this coming Saturday, June 29th,
I mean,
at 10 o'clock.
The Kamali'i Park.
The Kamali'i?
Mm-hmm.
He's still battling with the city procedures,
oh.
you know, getting permits and things like that.
Okay.
So he's very cognizant of what happens in city parks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figure that he's going to be our advocate for parks.
Mm-hmm. And this is at the Asia Pacific Center?
No, this is at Washington Middle School.
Okay, you have here in the Matthew Lynch, he's with the Asia Pacific Center for Regenerative Design?
That's right, that's
okay.
right, uh-huh.
And so he and that organization is participating in this, or?
Well, Matthew Lynch as an individual is participating in the forum.
Okay.
The reason I brought up Kamali'i Park is that, you know, everybody thinks that it's such a great idea, and so if we link him to that, then people will know where he's coming from.
Right, okay. I got you. But this sounds like a good panel, and there's Richard Ubersacks, Cooperative Project Analyst.
That's right. Now, Richard is another person who actually seems to be able to understand the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to explain to us, you know, what happens to the city budget once we have such a huge chunk of it consumed by public transit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's at, again, I jumble it up here, but it's going to be at the Washington Middle School June 29th at 10 a.m., correct?
That's right. Uh-huh. There's ample free parking there. You enter the parking lot on King Street. Mm-hmm. And the school is located at the corner of King and Punahou. Mm-hmm.
And is it just open to the public generally, or is it only special groups, or what?
No, everyone is invited.
Okay.
Anyone who is interested is invited, and I urge everyone to come.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And anything else on this you want to?
Well, the League of Women Voters of Honolulu is sponsoring this forum to get people to think about what are the consequences of operating a rail system. Right now, the people who like rail say, won't it be wonderful when rail, you know, can whisk other people off the road into their jobs? And but there's more to it than that. There are a lot of costs to rail. By having rail, there has to be a large increase in the number of buses, because, of course, rail cannot operate without the buses. It just goes in a straight line. People don't live along the straight line, so they want people to take buses mm-hmm. to the rail line. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it increases bus costs. People who back rail point out that only a small fraction of that 19% is going toward rail, but rail without buses cannot operate. Buses can operate without rail, but rail cannot operate without buses.
And well, you better get that in the head of the city managers. They seem to be cutting back on buses.
That's right, yes. And, you know, people who are regular bus riders are so dismayed by what is happening to the wonderful bus system. The best bus system in the country is being ruined by what they consider improvements due to the rail. Mm-hmm. People are talking about buses jammed to the doors and they can't even get on. And buses that used to take them in a few minutes to where they wanted to go is now taking them over an hour to get there after mm-hmm. several transfers. So that people have to think about what happens when there is rail. And there's not going to be enough parking spaces for people who want to ride to the rail station, jump on the rail, mm-hmm. and go get into town. They can't build enough parking lots for that, and there are very few parking lots that are even in the plans. Not only that, but there is no security planned for those parking lots. Mm-hmm. So that I've read comments from people who say, I'm not going to park in those lots. There's no security. So they expect people to take buses to the rail station, get on the rail, get off the rail, probably have to take another bus to where they actually want to go, because rail goes in one straight line.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't it funny that, or ironic that they say it's going to save time by using the rail, and yet the bus users, their time is being increased?
That's right. It is. You know, right now, even their optimistic predictions for rail, the bus can now beat those.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reason for rail? Well, you know, that is not the reason for the forum.
Right.
The forum is based on the assumption that mm-hmm. rail will be built, and then what happens?
Right.
You need to think about what happens once rail is in operation mm-hmm. and takes such a big bite out of the city budget.
Now, Scott Foss in the Hawaii Advocates, the piece that he sent out, the press release, and quoting you folks, it was, in a nutshell, it was well done. As you say, added to the enormous cost of the court-ordered repairs of Honolulu crumbling sewage system and replacing or repairing the county's decrepit streets and bridges, several questions remain unanswered. How will Honolulu pay for it all? And how will it impact needed capital improvement projects and maintenance in the future? And that's exactly what you've said. And it's kind of scary that these things are being led down this path and nobody's providing answers.
Right. And I'm sorry that I've neglected to talk about where are we going to get the money. Right now, where do we get money from? Property taxes. Mm-hmm. That's a big chunk. And fees. And the sewer fees and things having to do with automobiles, road maintenance, highway funds from the federal government. But if the expenses of the city are going to be increased, where do you think the source of funds is coming from? Property taxes.
Yes.
That's something that, you know... people who back rail really never talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be an increase in property taxes, but they say, oh, we'll have revenue enhancement, but they never say what the revenue enhancements will be. They cannot raise the bus fares. They cannot raise the train fares so much that people won't even ride it.
Mm-hmm.
So where can the money come from? I can only see property taxes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they've been promising they wouldn't do, and I don't see anything prevent them from, unless it's just a complete revolt. But I predict that we will have increase in tax, property tax.
Yes, yes. I think there's no getting around it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something else that this forum is designed to get people to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to just have this shiny new toy, the rail, and then just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're going to have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll pay for it either, well, no, probably both. Both in a reduction of the services we enjoy now and an increase in taxes.
So,
well, of course, you know, we're paying for this with taxes, the excise tax. You know, we've been paying into that for so many years, and we have so many more years to look forward to. And the people who back rail talk about, well, you know, it's all paid for.
Mm-hmm.
It's paid for with taxes.
Now, I can only imagine the impact that it's going to have. We see an impact on the bus ridership now and the people that ride it. But imagine as they get tighter, less money, they're going to have to modify their lifestyle.
That's right. There are many people who now take one bus and get into town.
Mm-hmm.
Once rail is in operation, many of those bus routes are going to be truncated.
Mm-hmm.
So that they will have to take rail in.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it. You wait for the bus, get on the bus, get off at the rail station, wait for the train, get off the train, wait for the bus, get to where you want to go. Because remember, the train is not going to go to two really big centers of employment, the University of Hawaii and Waikiki.
Mm-hmm.
So many people who now can go from the suburbs into Waikiki on one bus will not be able to do that once rail is in operation.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing is that traffic is not going to be decreased when rail is in operation. And I think that forcing people off the buses is going to actually increase the number of cars on the road more than the city's prediction.
Mm-hmm. And some of them will just be impacted, and they won't be able to leave the homes, or they'll have to cut back drastically.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, the main point of this is not whether we should have rail, but assuming that we do have rail, then what happens? Because, you know, the debate on whether we should have rail would take many other forums. It would take up the whole talk. So let's assume that we do have rail, then what happens? We need to talk about things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, anyway, again, it's June 29th, 10 a.m., and it's at the Washington Middle School, and Pearl Johnson is the chair of the Planning and Transportation Committee of the League of Women Voters in Honolulu.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you, and keep us posted.
Thank you.
Aloha.
I will.
Aloha.
All right. Bye.
All righty. I hope that those of you that are interested go and join in. Good morning, Carly. You have a comment or question?
Carol, that's great that Pearl Johnson came on. I talked to her before about the transportation with the rail. Can I tell you about a situation, a Denver Post article I read last month about rail, light rail was open on April 26th. People were using the, in Jefferson County, were using the bus to go to the rail. It was overcrowded. By the time they got to the rail station, got on, go to Denver, you know, they had to stop so many stops. They were kind of hesitant in using the rail because they were getting to work late. They had to get another bus and get to their destination, Denver. They cut the express bus from Jefferson County, and there was a petition by this lady that she brought it back because the bus would just take them directly to Denver, no stops, express, and get to work right away. It was ridiculous using the rail.
Mm-hmm.
So this is probably the same thing that's going to happen to us. So,
well, I saw the other day the mayor was riding a bicycle with the and I applaud the promotion of bicycles, and I'm thinking, he gets a free ride on this one. Let's see him get on the bus and ride down the street and follow him with cameras and see how difficult it is.
And he promote the bus the bicycles to go on the rail. You know, San Francisco BART had a problem on in one of the articles in the San Francisco Chronicle that on peak hours the bicyclists were just taking over the rail cars, mm-hmm. and there was no room for everybody to sit. It was just too much bicycles, and they were, you know, harassing the people who were riding the rail. You know, they have right to bring their bikes on board and, you know, take up the space and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I can see that before they start talking about adding new cars to the rail, I was thinking, well, gee, what about wheelchairs and bicycles and strollers and luggage and all?
Yeah.
I was wondering, what were they going to do to address that? And that would decrease the space,
right?
So it's unfortunate. I don't want to sit here and pretend to have all the answers, but I can say that I can comment on dumb moves.
Yeah. Well, are you going to be going to that meeting on Saturday? If you possible,
I might try, and
yeah,
and we'll see. I'm going to try to be there.
Well, I'm going to try to. Where was it going to be, at the cafeteria?
It would. Let's see here. It's at Washington Middle School.
It's at King Street, right?
Yeah, King Street. I'll pull it up again here and see. Let's see here. Washington Middle School's King Street Amphitheater. That's all it says. It does not say exactly what part, but anyway.
Well, I'll check if I still have Pearl Johnson's phone number. Give her a call.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
I hope to see you. Thank you.
Aloha. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Thank you. They never did it right. They never did anything right the very first time. Thank you.
All righty. Aloha. Can you imagine? I know that, and it's only fair that people like myself and others sit around and complain about everything and take shots at everything. But that's the process. This is the vetting that didn't occur because it was railroaded in, so to speak. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes. Did Pearl Johnson mention that she'll attend the city council committee meeting on Wednesday? Did she mention that?
I didn't ask.
But that's when there's going to be the city council committee budget meeting, right?
Okay, is there, give us, if you got specifics, go ahead and announce it.
Well, if there is a city council budget meeting on Wednesday, I believe there are, I believe that she should be there and testify.
Okay.
You know, dealing with the rail. So, you know, I might be there to help her out, but, I was just kind of wondering, did she mention that date? This coming Wednesday.
That would be, and this is this Wednesday.
Yeah,
this city coming council meeting. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, I'll be there.
Alrighty, yeah, and okay. Keep us informed.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Aloha. Well, that's it's rather painful when you know people that rely on the bus system, and the way this, and they try to make their contribution by not driving and all. And someone said, well, they can drive the cars. It's not that easy because the cost of, can you imagine, each year the cost, the weight tax on a car goes up, going out and having it. So the only people that can afford it, if you're on a fixed income, this is going to have a devastating and a drastic impact on many of us that are out there. And, you know, to suggest that, well, they can drive. Well, who's going to do the driving for them? They can hire someone. Well, imagine there's a cost there that they didn't anticipate. So I think our city managers and all of you union folks that are running out there behind, it reminds me of, and this is a silly analogy, but I must tell you, when I was a kid, and some of you older guys out there like myself now, remember the tractor or the truck driving through the neighborhood and spraying that mosquito spray? Well, that reminds me, this is what the union members look like. They're running behind this truck, smelling the spray, buying and drinking the Kool-Aid. Let me tell you, you may have a job, and you may get to wear a green shirt, and you can go to the bank. But in doing so, with this rail, all the brothers and sisters, the aunts and uncles, so if you're buying this Kool-Aid from the people that want to make millions and billions on the rail, and that's what it's all about, it has nothing to do with helping people. How it was done. I will submit this to you. Remember Mufi Hanneman. Remember Mufi Hanneman. Can we all say Mufi? And when he runs for office again, just ask yourself. The rail may be perfect, but how we got here? By hook and crook. And so for the union guys out there, you're doing good. I think somebody is proposing to put in a nuclear power plant situated there in Waianae, maybe. And you'll probably go and support it. But just remember, while you're driving your trucks around City Hall and then honking the horns and you're going to get a job, what impacts is it going to have on your people? So Kool-Aid tastes great. Wish you had some. You can't wait. I guess that's the old saying. But anyway, we'll see you next week. And nothing like being mean-spirited on a Sunday morning, is it? But that's where we are, folks. But we can all talk about it and try to air it out, and in doing so, it'll send a message to the Caldwells, the Mufi Hannemans, the Neil Abercrombies, and all the others. Better do right by us. One day we may get smart. And you know what happens to smart, angry people. So we'll see you next week. Aloha.
All aboard!
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.